Are exploring what our purpose statement is, and this week we're looking at acceptance and looking at a moment when Jesus shows us what radical acceptance looks like in his own life. This is from John, the Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down, wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go on your way, and from now on, do not sin again." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So in our purpose, we say we are a safe place to be authentic, to experience acceptance,
healing,
and a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've talked about providing a safe place where people can be authentic, and all of these things work together to be a safe place where people can be themselves with all their mess. Well, we have to be accepting. If people want to experience acceptance, we have to be accepting. Now, there's lots of places that people can go where they can be accepted because they fit in. Because they are kind of the same as everybody else. They're our kind of people, right? We can accept them. And then there's a big move in our community, our society, for an idea of tolerance. That we should be tolerant of everyone. But what Jesus offers to us is a model of radical acceptance. Now, to understand what was happening within this interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees, we kind of need to go back a little bit. It begins with Jesus teaching. It says he brought the people gathered around him and he was teaching. And so it's like, what was he teaching? Well, we know from chapter 7, just before this, that he's been teaching in the temple. It's what he's been doing, and it gives us a little sample. He says, "Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law." So he's already been teaching them about the law. He's not disregarding the law. It's not like he doesn't care about the law. He just is pointing out that they all are breaking the law. Now the next question is, what is the law that is at hand here, right? These scribes and Pharisees, these elders, they bring this woman before Jesus and say, she has broken the law. You need to understand what the law is. It's not like a vague moral thing. This is a specific law in Deuteronomy 22:22. It says, if a man is caught lying with the wife of another man, that is adultery, both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman as well as the woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. Now, I want to remember what these Pharisees and scribes said. They said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. She was caught in the very act of lying with another man who was not her husband. Where's the man? It's caught in the very act. Where's the man? Here's the law. You heard the law. This is what the law says. But they've just brought this woman. And Jesus knows they're not following the right procedure for justice anyway. They're not bringing forth the witnesses. They're not bringing her to trial before the Sanhedrin. They're just bringing her. They're just using her to try to test Jesus, to try to trap Jesus. He knows this. He said to them just before this, he said, why are you looking for an opportunity to kill me? He knows what they're doing. This isn't about justice. This certainly isn't about purging the evil from Israel, because if that were the case, they would have the man there. No, this is about fear and power. This is about rejection and exclusion. See, because they have built a system based on the law that claims to be able to purge evil through condemnation and death. That's kind of convenient. Makes us feel better about ourselves to be able to condemn someone else and distinguish them from us. We're not like them. They are condemned. But we don't do those sorts of things. We're different. Helps to separate us from those people. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're more concerned with purity and principles, with maintaining a system of power, than they are with people, than they are with the actual meaning of the law and the actual use of the law, which is to build a community of people where evil is being purged, being reduced, and righteousness reigns. So Jesus sees what's happening here, and he upends their system of judgment and death. He bends down and he writes. Now, I'm doing this right now. You can see that this is strange. It's uncomfortable. I've disengaged from you.
If I was just doing this, right, and trying to preach, you would kind of spend the whole time wondering, what is he doing? Why isn't he engaged with us? He's not meeting us in the eye. He's not looking at us. He's not.
Jesus disengages from their effort, from their use of this woman and their abuse of the law. He says, he bends down, he says, I'm not going to be a part of this. He disengages. We don't know what he writes. It doesn't tell us in the scripture. There's a lot of guesses that people have made over the years. Perhaps he reminds them of what the law actually says. You know, I've heard people say he writes, it takes two to tango. I've heard others say he reminds them of their sins, of writes their sins that he knows on the ground. But ultimately, the main point, the main thing, is that he disengages from their system, and then when he comes back up, he presents a new way to engage with evil and sin in the community. He says in verse 7, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her. And with that, the foundation of the whole system shifts. I mean, that would break down the system, right? Like, no one can be, they all know, right, that they're not without sin. Jesus has been teaching them this already, right? And the ones that won't listen, apparently they still figure it out. They know, right, that they are actually currently engaged in an act of sin, of using this woman for their own purposes to try to kill Jesus, right? But if no one who is without sin can punish anyone else, can prevent anyone else from breaking the law, well, then their whole system breaks down. If the powerful holy few cannot purge evil by killing, then that system doesn't work anymore. But Jesus is about to introduce a new system. The one he's been teaching about. A system that purges evil instead of by killing, by dying. By sacrificing, by destroying evil on the cross and being risen up and accepted as God's only Son, glorified, and then offering healing to all who will come seeking the grace of God available in Jesus Christ. And so with his statement about those without sin, he binds us all together into a new foundation of acceptance instead of rejection. He acknowledges that Jerusalem and then the church that follows is meant to be a community of compassion, based on the recognition of our common humanity, our common need for grace. That anyone with sin is called to seek the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the teaching that is available and the power of the Holy Spirit to purge that sin from our lives. I mean, we still struggle to get this in the right order today, right? We still kind of sort of think, because it's been kind of enculturated into us, right? This is kind of the way the church has operated for many years, that conviction of sin has to come first, right? We get out, we preach conviction, hellfire, damnation, got to be convicted of the sin. Then comes repentance. Then acceptance, then welcome and inclusion. Once the sin has been purged, then people can come and be a part of God's church. But Jesus shows us a different model here, a model that says that radical acceptance of sinners, radical acceptance of sinners is the beginning point. That bringing people into our community in compassion is the starting point for people's introduction to the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That rather than being concerned with purity, we would be concerned with people. People that we see, we look out and we say, look, there's a sinner like me, forgiven by grace of Jesus Christ, yet some of them just don't know it yet. See, the foundation of acceptance and radical acceptance is like Jesus, or like Paul reminds us in the reading that Charlie did for us. We are called to accept one another as God in Christ has accepted us. This is an acceptance that takes sin very seriously. Right? This is not saying Jesus just saying live and let live. Hey, you're all sinners, so just leave each other alone, right? No, that's the difference between tolerance and acceptance. Tolerance says live and let live. Jesus talks about radical acceptance that brings people in. I want to just highlight the difference between tolerance and acceptance. Let me give you a couple of different examples. All right, if you really like hot food, that's different than tolerating it, right? Like if you really like to just pour on the hot sauce and get the extra spicy hot wings. I was just talking to my buddy yesterday, and we've got the Nashville hot chicken. He's like, I like to get the extra, extra hot. It's like, if I ate that, I'd be like Ted Lasso. I'd be like, is my tongue still in my mouth right now? No, he accepts hot food. He loves it. That's a radical acceptance of hot food. I kind of mostly tolerate hot food. I can eat it if it's spicy, but it's not really what I necessarily want. What about music is another good one. Mary Grace likes to play JoJo some. If you've not heard JoJo, I tolerate JoJo. But I accept Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is good music. That's acceptance. That's the difference between acceptance and tolerance. I was on a multicultural committee in seminary. We had found that there were some folks who really felt excluded in the context of our seminary, really felt like they were getting left out. And so we formed this committee, and we all got together. And folks of different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different sexualities, we were all in there together, and I was kind of there to listen. And one guy spoke up, and he said, I don't want you to tolerate me. I want you to accept me. People want acceptance. Jesus reminds us that this is the route to healing. This is the route to new life. We don't purge with rejection. We don't get rid of evil with rejection of evil, trying to form a righteous community that's shut off from the world. No, Jesus teaches us that we purge evil with grace. Grace that leads to new life. Recognition of sin and saving change that is most likely to occur in the context of a community that loves and accepts, that brings people in, and then says, let's talk about healing. That's our topic for next week. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.